Let us pray. O Lord, our God, from the foot of your cross, from the depths of your word, speak to us the hope we need to hear. Amen. The 27th chapter of Matthew's gospel, which we just heard almost in its entirety, together with the other accounts found in the other three gospels, tells the story of Jesus' crucifixion. And it's likely that you came here tonight expecting that you might hear that very story. The tragic, at times graphic story of an innocent man being put to death on a cross. It's Good Friday, after all, and that's the story we tell on Good Friday. But imagine with me, if you will, that you walked in here tonight not knowing anything at all about this Jesus guy. Imagine you somehow just walked in off the street and some kind, smiling person at the door handed you a folded paper with an odd picture on the front and the words Good Friday at the top. And you might have read it and thought, it's been a decent Friday. But if these nice folks are calling it good, I can go with that. And everyone seemed so friendly. So you decided to stay, even though there seemed to be some kind of construction project going on at the back of the room. And the place smelled an awful lot like a florist shop, but there wasn't a flower in sight. Imagine coming in like that, not knowing yet anything about the story. Imagine coming in and hearing Matthew's account for the first time. You'd be completely bewildered. If that's what happened, and they like this Jesus guy, then what in the world is so good about Friday? I mean, really, what good thing happened on this Friday? Was it when Jesus stood before a weak and crowd-pleasing governor who eventually washed his hands of the whole affair rather than getting a backbone? Was that good? Or was it when the fickle and agitated crowd gleefully chose freedom for a known criminal and death for a man whose crimes they never named? Was that good? Was it when the soldiers, the whole bullying company of them, stripped Jesus and pressed thorns into his head? Was it when they mocked him and spat on him and took a reed to his shoulders and around his neck? Was that good? Or maybe it was when the gathered spectators and sneering crowd threw the dying man's words back in his face, laughing and pointing. Was that the good part? Or was it when he hung silent and broken and hated, just like the bandits on either side of him? Was that good? Perhaps it was when the sky, as far as anyone could see, turned as dark as night in the middle of the afternoon, and it was eerie enough to silence the hateful crowd so everyone could hear Jesus cry out in searching anguish to his God. Was that good? I mean, if you walked in here and heard this story, this crucifixion account, without knowing what came before and certainly not knowing what comes after, you would need some explanation. Because from the perspective of this Friday account, there ain't nothing good going on. On Friday, whips cracked and lips sneered and voices mocked and thorns pierced. On Friday, nails split flesh and sinew, blood mingled with sweat and trickled down the rough wood of a rugged cross. On Friday, under a blackened sky, the Son of God cried out in pain and gasped his final breath. Why do we call it Good Friday? Even if it's not your first time to hear this story, you may now be wondering the same thing. Well, a quick Google search will answer the question for you. Some sources indicate that the adjective good traditionally designates a day or sometimes a season in which religious observance is held. So by good, we simply mean holy or special or set aside. The other primary explanation is that Good Friday is simply a linguistic corruption of God Friday. That over time, the phrase God Friday evolved in common speech into Good Friday, much in the same way that the phrase God be with you has evolved into goodbye. A variation of this explanation was that the original designation for this crucifixion day before Easter was not simply God Friday, but God's Friday, with the possessive form of God, as in, this Friday belongs to God. And that, after all, is exactly what makes it good. Yes, it absolutely looks terrible on the surface, in the midst of it, from the point of view of just this chapter of the biblical account. But what we know, what Jesus knew, even as he surrendered his spirit with his last shuddering breath, is that this is God's Friday. The gospel accounts, like the one we read tonight, of the events on Friday are stark and tragic. They tell what happened, but they don't offer any explanation of the meaning of this death. They don't tell why Jesus died or what was accomplished. They just tell that he died and how horrifically. The cross is set before us, but no meaning is yet assigned. However, from the broader perspective of God's word, it becomes clear that this Friday didn't just happen unexpectedly. Long before Jesus took his first breath or his last, God's prophet told of the servant who would be despised and rejected. And the prophet explained that the one who suffered would carry not his own sin, but ours. And that when he died, we would be made whole. And then in the pages of the New Testament that follow the gospel accounts, we find repeated explanations of the meaning of the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. Colossians 2:13 says, when you were dead in trespasses, God made you alive together with him. He forgave us all our sins, erasing the record that stood against us. And the way he did it was that he set our sin aside, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 1 says that through the cross, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, because in Christ, God reconciled to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. When we step beyond the gospel account to the rest of Scripture, we hear that Jesus didn't just die, he died for us. That it wasn't simply his hands and feet that were nailed to the cross, but our sin and brokenness as well. We learn that Jesus, like a priest offering sacrifice for our sins, became himself the Lamb of God, the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And the cross that looks like foolishness to to the wide mocking world suddenly looks like the very power of God for any of us who are perishing. This Friday, it turns out, didn't belong to the power-hungry Pilate or the rule-wielding Pharisees. This Friday did not belong to the brutal soldiers or the fickle crowd. This Friday did not belong to the devil who thrives on deceptions and destruction and death. This Friday, for all its dying, did not belong to death. It was God's Friday. It wasn't outside his plan. It wasn't outside his purpose. And it wasn't outside his power. It was God's Friday. And that's a good Friday, because it means that God's got your Friday too. Or whatever day of the week reeks of death and destruction, when you face a crippling loss or weep at the weight of this world, when blows of disappointment or regret hammer around your heart, when you feel alone or abandoned, when you've messed up every last thing, when it seems that peace will never rise above the war, when bombs drop and nations rage, when waters rise and walls crumble, when your darkest day gets darker still. Y'all, the cross of Good Friday proclaims that it's God's Friday, not outside his plan, not outside his purpose, and not outside his power. God's got this. Just wait and see. Let us pray. Almighty God, we surrender to you every Friday that breaks our heart and breaks our back and breaks our will. Oh God, we surrender to you every sin that leads us astray, every messed up choice, every broken promise. Oh God, we surrender to you our very selves, trusting that you've got this, that nothing may happen that is outside your plan, that nothing may happen that is outside your purpose, that nothing may happen that is outside your power. As we stand before the cross tonight, may we glimpse your glory in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing together.